Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 16. The glory of him who takes away the first and establishes the second. Topic: H. The temporal factor and the record in the scriptures of the so-called first priesthood. When we proceed to advance in more detail in investigating the distinctions between the so-called first and second priesthoods, we can observe that three aspects in particular have generated big practical difficulty for many people to differentiate these priesthoods, which are: 1. The fact that both priesthoods are recorded in the scriptures. 2. The fact that God has authorized a first weak and unprofitable priesthood. 3. The fact that a priesthood authorized by God has proven to be temporary and had to have its authorization revoked. The three difficulties mentioned in the previous paragraph are very interesting and important to note, for they, in a way, precede the specific analysis of the two priesthoods in reference. The difficulty in understanding a subject often does not even lie in the very subject that one aims to know, but it lies in the lack of understanding some aspects that precede the particular subject and that may even generate an almost insurmountable barrier to achieve the most specific objective. To reach a specific end, it is often necessary, first, to remove some previous obstacles that prevent people from grasping the point that they aim to achieve, as it is the case of the three barriers mentioned above. So, in the first place, if a person, for example, persists in thinking or does not move from the idea that everything recorded in the scriptures should be followed and applied by all those who want to follow what the scriptures describe, one will have enormous difficulty in understanding the differences between the so-called first and second priesthoods. The scriptures themselves teach us that all its parts were inspired by the Lord and that all are useful for instruction and improvement. However, the scriptures teach us that all its parts are also useful for correction, reproof, and for education in righteousness concerning what is wrong in the life of the one who longs to live and walk in the will of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The scriptures teach us vital aspects concerning life and that every human being should aim to understand and follow. However, the scriptures also show and teach us about the ineffective and deceitful ways from which each person should abstain. To claim that everything presented in the scriptures is exposed in them to be followed by the letter, not only is contrary to the scriptures themselves, but it is also incoherent and contradictory, because how could a person succeed in trying to follow, at the same time, what is favorable to him or her and what is contrary to his or her life? All scripture was indeed given by the inspiration of God, but it was also inspired by the Lord to expose or clarify those aspects that present themselves in life with subtleties to try to entangle people in false propositions of a life of fear or reverence for God. The fact that the scriptures show us that there is a priesthood called the first that needed to be removed and the fact that they show us that this first priesthood was allowed for a period so that its temporality and weakness also became evident, despite its enormity of details, should not become a cause of scandal regarding the scriptures, but quite the contrary, a cause of much more respect for the Lord, the scriptures, and what is recorded in them. The scriptures are given to human beings to teach them the way of life in which each person is called to walk, but they also show us clearly and in detail what are the paths and the results of the ways that do not lead to life, as, for example, the priesthood called first. The scriptures are given to us by the Lord to show us the way of life and the paths of death so that we may find life and walk away from the paths of death. That is, the scriptures should always be read with discernment to understand that their themes point to several different aspects, as we have described more widely also in the subject on rightly dividing the word of truth. Thus, If the scriptures make special mention of a series of details of the so-called first priesthood, they do so because it is also necessary to highlight the details of this type of priesthood so that people may see its fragility and uselessness, and because humanity is highly attracted to propositions similar to this priesthood. Hebrews 7:18-19. For on the one hand there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect; on the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, through which we draw near to God. The fact that the priesthood called first is specially described in the scriptures is not to give it credibility in the sense that people should be associated with it, but it is given to show that as close as it might be to the true priesthood that God wants people to associate with, this priesthood called first can never match what the true priesthood in Christ can provide for those who receive Him as Lord. Because the priesthood so called first aims so much to show that it could provide the newness of life that only the second priesthood can offer, but which is never able to do it in fact, it was also necessary to record the first in the scriptures with so many details so that its weakness and uselessness were amply evidenced, showing that a seeming copy can never replace the true one given by the Lord. In the second place, as mentioned at the beginning of this topic, another point that generates difficulties for many people to understand the distinctions of the so-called first and second priesthoods, is the fact that God, in the past, authorized a group of people to try to live their lives based on the principles of the priesthood so-called first. The fact that God authorized the first priesthood, despite its weakness and unprofitableness, is the reason for there to be the so-called first and second priesthoods. That is, only the priesthoods authorized by the Lord to be practiced also received a prominent mention under specific names of priesthoods in the scriptures. When the scriptures show us that the only begotten Son of God came into the world so that the first could be removed and that the second could be established, they do not mention the need to remove other priesthoods that exist around the world, because none of the others was authorized by the Lord to be practiced and, therefore, they did not need to be removed by the Lord Himself. Nevertheless, the fact that the Lord authorized the first priesthood does not imply that it represented what the Lord wanted for those people who were authorized to follow the path of this first priesthood. In the words of the prophet Jeremiah, we can clearly see that the Lord did not intend the first priesthood, its law, and all acts derived from this law, but these aspects were authorized because the people whom God wanted to guide did not want the direct direction of the Lord. The first priesthood was authorized because the people wanted God to allow them to walk on the option made by the people themselves. Jeremiah 7:22-24. For I did not speak to your fathers, or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. The first priesthood was the result of a fleshly yearning of the people in opposition to the proposition that God was offering them to guide them, as it is also exposed in the book of Hebrews chapter 7. At this point, however, some people could still come up with the question of how is it possible for God to authorize a type of priesthood that is contrary to the kind of priesthood that the Lord Himself intends people to follow? The understanding of this last aspect is highly significant, especially in the light of the gospel of the Lord, which has the characteristic of being an offer. And since the gospel is an offer, it cannot be characterized as an imposition. The invitation to associate with the priesthood that God intends for all people, which is called the second priesthood, refers to a priesthood that is offered to be received by choice and not by imputation. An aspect that shows us that people, on the other hand, also have the option of choosing to associate with other types of priesthoods even though they are contrary to the will of God. Therefore, in the case of the so-called first priesthood, and in response to a demand contrary to God of the people who were called to be guided by God. The Lord made a particular and very differentiated concession so that people could see more ahead that the priesthood for which they were choosing, in contrast to the will of the Lord, was a priesthood that, after all, would not work even if the Lord would be favorable to them and grant them all they needed from God to walk in the priesthood that the people themselves chose to walk. The Lord indeed authorized the first priesthood for the people to walk according to the type of priesthood that was chosen by this group. However, this was done so that the whole world would also come to know that this type of priesthood would never be able to attain what it proposed to achieve even if God would authorize a people to follow it for a specific time and would not be opposed to the people of this group doing so. If, on the one hand, the so-called first priesthood could not lead people to achieve what they wanted, on the other hand, the fact that they tried exhaustively to accomplish what God did not want them to follow would prove to be a benefit to reveal to the whole world that this kind of priesthood made nothing perfect, no matter how much people strive and insist on following it. When the people who were called to be guided by God asked the Lord to give them an alternative way, so that they could try to serve God according to a proposition that most pleased the people themselves and that was according to their natural intents, most of those people had already made a choice in their hearts that opposed what the Lord had offered them. However, the authorization for the first priesthood to be established and adopted by those people was only granted because the world was not yet conscious and had not yet witnessed the weakness and uselessness of this first priesthood. And finally, in this topic, we saw that there is a third aspect that may try to interpose in the understanding of the differentiation between the so-called first and second priesthoods. This third point, however, is practically already answered and evidenced by the first two points that we saw above. That is, the fact that God recorded the so-called first priesthood in the scriptures and the fact that God authorized, for a specific time, that people sought to live according to this first priesthood, shows us that God is sovereign to remove the authorization of what he allowed to be followed during a period of history for our teaching. When Christ announces that he was introduced in the flesh into the world and that God had given him a body so that the Lord's will to remove the first and establish the second would be fulfilled, he shows us that God is fully sovereign to remove the validity of what was authorized for the purpose of revealing and teaching the world what the people who inhabit it should not follow. The record in the scriptures of the existence of a first to be removed because of the establishment of a second also clearly informs us about a division of time and a division of ways of approach or practices related to one or the same theme. The fact that the scriptures inform us that there is a first to be removed and there is a second to be established, enriches the challenge of understanding some matters of life in line with the will of God and also shows us that the life of the human being has passed and passes through different periods. And, still, that in these distinct periods, there are also aspects that had a temporary expression before God and whose time of acceptance or tolerance was changed by aspects that came later and took the place of what was previously at work. Although all scripture is given by inspiration of God and useful for teaching and perfecting those who allow the Lord to instruct them through the written word, it should be remembered that in scripture itself, there are instructions on what God wants people to follow and that are eternal, but there are also temporary teachings in it. And as such, some teachings were or are recorded in Scripture precisely to instruct people of specific times not to guide their lives on them anymore. The fact that God establishes or allows something to be practiced for a particular time or the fact that God has manifested himself by some means during a specific time and through other means in another period does not mean that God cannot interrupt or disallow what has been useful or allowed for a while, or that God cannot merely stop using some forms of temporary manifestation that have been used in the past moments of human history. If we look at human history more globally since its creation, we can see that God never repeated the great or major events that occurred in it. In human history, there was only one creation process like the initial one, and there was only one global flood. There was only one call like the one that the Lord made to Abraham and Sarah. Only once happens to be an opening of the Red Sea for the people to pass with dry feet and be released collectively from Egypt. There was a unique intervention of Christ to make the provision of salvation for all human beings from their condemnation because of sin. Besides, in each of these major unique events, there has also been a change of various living conditions and instructions for living life after each of these interventions. The prophet Daniel teaches us that God, as sovereign over everything and everyone, is the eternal Lord and, therefore, He is also the Lord of the times, of the seasons and periods in which something can be temporarily released or can be interrupted according to the righteous government of God both on heaven and earth. Daniel 2:20-21. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons, He removes kings and raises up kings, He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." From the moment that Adam and Eve received the promise that a descendant of them would be constituted to defeat the serpent that rose against them, and from the moment that Abraham and Sarah were called to walk in faith according to the instructions that God would grant them, the Lord always announced changes of times or periods that would occur due to the actions carried out through His righteous interventions concerning human beings, as exemplified in the words below that God announced to Abraham. Genesis 15:12-16. "Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge, afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, you shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete.' And if through various calls directed by God to the men and women of the world, the Lord has already introduced so many changes also to remove situations and conditions practiced until the time of these changes, how much more would the Lord not do together and after the introduction of His beloved Son in the world to be the Savior and Christ of all people who believe in Him?" Galatians 4:4-7. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Galatians 3:24-26. "Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Hebrews 1:1-2. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds." Without understanding that several points established or authorized by the Lord Himself also had a specific purpose for some particular moments in human history and that several of these points were only released under a temporary condition, a person who seeks to understand the scriptures may face significant difficulties in separating what applies to all generations, to his or her generation, and what was applicable only for some generations of the past. The lack of perception that God can release something temporarily and the lack of a crystalline and straightforward understanding that what is called first was only consented by God for a specific time until the second priesthood was more widely revealed, has been one of the more central, remarkable, and active items in the attempt to prevent people from perceiving what God no longer wants them to follow. And, consequently, also from understanding what the Lord wants them to see, believe, and receive in their lives. Thus, once exposed the diversity of some peculiarities that exist in the approach of two different perspectives on the same theme, respectively called first and second, and once exposed the fact that these two perspectives were also allowed to highlight the temporariness of the first in the face of the second, we understand that we are now better supported to advance in more detail about each of the two priesthoods in reference and their particularities.